And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. And my apologies, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The verse will be verse number 8. But Romans chapter 5 this morning. And this month, of course, we have, not intentionally so, but the messages have taken on a theme of the love of God. Thinking about God's love for us as His children, as His people. And this morning, as we finish up February, the month of love, we want to finish up this thought on the love of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But God commendeth," or proved, "His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." But God commendeth His love toward us. For a few moments this morning, that's the thought I want to preach to us on: His love for us. His love for us. Now, in order to understand here verse number 8, we need to back up just a little bit and look beginning there at verse number 1 of chapter number 5. And in verse number 1, the Bible tells us this: "Therefore, being justified," that word justified has the idea of just as if we had never sinned. And so when you and I put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says He justifies us. In other words, when He looks at us and He looks on us and He views us, it's just as if, even though we have sinned, even though we are sinners saved by the grace of God, it's just as if we had never sinned, because we now have the grace of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross, covering our sin, covering our iniquities. Therefore, being justified, we're justified by what? By faith. By faith in what? In the Lord Jesus Christ, His work on Calvary's cross. Here's what we now have. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before you and I got saved, before you and I became Christians, before you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we did not have, as Romans 5:1 tells us here, we did not have peace with God. In essence, we were enemies of God. We were in opposition to God. We were, we were butting heads with God because of our sin. But now that we are justified by faith, now where there was no peace before, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do we have peace, verse number 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so not only this morning do we have peace with God, not only are we justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, but now we have access to God whenever we have need, whenever we have a prayer request, whenever we need to go to the throne of grace. We now have access 24/7 to God. We have access not only by faith, but now into this grace. We now, before where we stood condemned, we now stand in grace. And because of that, we now have hope. And because we have hope, we can now rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. Verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, that's a very hard verse sometimes for us to wrap our heads around, for us to put into practice, because it says we glory in tribulations. I don't know about you, but it's not very easy to glory in when times aren't going the way they ought to go. It's very difficult to be happy and smiling and say everything's just fine when in reality it's not. But here the Bible says we glory in tribulations. Why? Because we know that tribulation worketh patience. You know, it's often been said that one of the things you don't ask for, one of the things you don't pray for, is patience. Because then you wind up in the whole world of hurt that you never intended to wind up in, because now instead of relying on God, you're just kind of begging for trouble. But we see here, not only does tribulation work patience, verse 4, so tribulation brings patience, patience brings experience, and experience brings hope. So here's what it's saying. When we go through tribulations, those tribulations bring about patience. And that patience brings about experience, and that experience brings about hope. You see, because it's a circle. It's a circle of life type of situation. Because we know those tribulations aren't going to last forever. And we know that through our experience. We know that through our patience. And because of that patience and that experience, we can have hope that one day those tribulations are going to pass away. Verse number 5. And hope, and now this is talking about our standing in Christ. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So now we're getting into the love of God here in these next few verses. We see that when we were without strength, in due time, when we were ungodly, Christ died for us. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And so now Paul, he brings about a comparison here. He says, a righteous man needs not one die for him. A good man, some might think to die. But then he brings it full circle in our text, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, this morning, Christ and God the Father loved us so much that when they looked at us and they saw that even while we were yet sinners, vile, wretched, wicked, ungodly, not justified, enemies with God, the Bible here says they still loved us enough that Christ died for us. I want you to think about that this morning. That the creator of all things, God the Father, he loved me so much. He loved you so much. He loves this world so much that he would send his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for me on the cross. To die for you on the cross, to die for those that are out there in this world this morning that need the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his only begotten Son to die for them. And not only did he send his only begotten Son to die for them because he loved them, that wouldn't be enough. No, he not only loves them, loves me, loves you, but he wanted to forgive my sins. He wanted to forgive your sins. He wants to forgive those that are in the world today. He wants to forgive their sins and make them clean so that they can be with him for all of eternity. And that's what he did for us. That's how much he loved us, that he forgave us our sins. He made us clean. The Bible tells us that he made us whiter than snow. Now, if you understand the significance of that, when that phrase whiter than snow was written during biblical times, they had no idea what snow even was. And here the Lord's using an illustration to get a point across that your sins are so forgiven that they are whiter than the whitest snow that you can ever imagine. You know, isn't it amazing this morning to know that you are loved by God? I mean, really, stop and think about it a little bit this morning. You wake up this morning, you wake up tomorrow, you are loved by God. You are loved by the Creator of this universe. You are loved by the Creator of this world. You are loved by someone that if He so chose to, that He is so mighty, He is so powerful, so big. We sing the Sunday school song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." And that's who He is this morning. But He's so big, He's so strong, He's so mighty. And then you and I, in comparison to Him, we're about yay big. And He looks at us, He could see our sin, and if He wanted to, He could flick us into the fires of hell for all of eternity. But He didn't do that. He loved us much more than that, that He would send His Son to die for your sins and to die for my sins. And listen, every morning you wake up, you should, there's a song that we sing, "The Wonder of It All." You should never get over the wonder of it all this morning. You should never get over the fact that He loves you and that you're loved by God. There's several things I wanted to see this morning about His love toward us. Number one, His love for you is unending. His love for you is unending. You see, this morning, God's love is eternal. He loved you yesterday. He loves you today. And I'm going to go out on a very strong limb and say there's a very good chance He's going to love you tomorrow. But not only does He love you yesterday, and not only does He love you today, and not only is He going to love you tomorrow, but He's going to love you forever. He's going to love you for all of eternity. He's going to love you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 33 or 31 and verse 3, the Bible says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." You know what that means this morning? It doesn't end. Listen, even sometimes when you might feel like He doesn't love you, let me encourage you just a little bit this morning. He still loves you. Even when it feels like He doesn't love you, He loves you with an everlasting love. His love for you this morning is unending. But not only that, secondly, this morning, we see that His love is unselfish. His love is unselfish. You see, this morning, God didn't wait for us to love Him first. And aren't you glad about that this morning? Because if it was dependent on us loving God first, the chances of us actually loving Him first were pretty slim to none. But He didn't wait on that. He didn't wait on us to turn over that new leaf. He didn't wait for us to be good enough. He didn't wait for us to start loving Him first. No, His love was freely given. For God commendeth His love. He proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew who we were, and He died for us anyway. He knew who I was, and He died for me anyway. He knew who you were, and He died for you anyway. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." His love was freely given. 1 John 4:19, the Bible says, "We love Him because He first loved us." That's why we love Him this morning. Because He first loved us. But not only this morning is His love unending, His love unselfish, but thirdly this morning, we see that His love is undeserved. His love is undeserved. You see, this morning, God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And as sinners, you and I have done nothing to deserve God's love. But guess what? He loves us anyway. He cares for us anyway. We see it here, Romans 5:8 again. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing we have done to deserve God's love. And there's nothing we can do to deserve God's love. Listen, this morning, coming to church does not earn God's love. Being baptized does not earn God's love. Giving money to the offering does not earn God's love. You fill in the blank. Whatever religious activity you want to fill in the blank with, it does not earn God's love. Because we couldn't earn his love. He freely gave it. But it's undeserved. Number four, we see that his love is unimaginable. His love is unimaginable. You see, God's love led him to send his son Jesus to bear the punishment for our sins, for my sins, for your sins on the cross. Now, I want you to imagine that for just a few moments this morning. Imagine watching someone you love being punished, number one, for something they were not guilty of. That's who Jesus was, by the way. He went to a cross, suffered, bled, and died for crimes he did not commit. He was on that cross not because of anything he had done. He was there for things I had done or would do and things you have done and would have done. But not only that, imagine someone being punished for something they did not do, but being punished to the point of death for something they didn't do. That's exactly what God the Father did when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son. Gave him to the point of death. There was nothing else Christ could have done more than lay down his life and give his life as a sacrifice for our sins. It's an unimaginable type of love this morning. We focus on it especially around Easter time as we focus on the cross and the pain and the suffering that he endured and went through on that cross of Calvary. It's unimaginable what he went through. But then next we see that not only is it unimaginable, but we see next it's undying. It's undying. It's an undying love. You see, God didn't only send Jesus to die for our sins. We know that he went to a cross. We know he suffered, he bled, he died. We know that. But then he was put in a tomb 3 days later. He would come out of that tomb. God would then raise him from the dead so we can have eternal life. Turn over, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to notice there, beginning at verse number 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 50. The Bible says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of law is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You say, how do we get to that truth of verse 55? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, you're there in chapter 15. Go back and look there, if you would. Verse number 12. The Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet are ye in your sins. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now here's the key, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Oh yes, not only did he send his son to die for our sins, but he wouldn't stay dead. 3 days later, God the Father would raise him from the dead so we can have eternal life. What a wonderful gift that is that he offers to us that believe. 1 John 4:9, the Bible says, if this was manifested, or in this, excuse me, was manifested, the love of God toward us, because the God sent his only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through him. So we see this morning, it's an undying love. Yes, he died, but praise the Lord, he didn't stay dead. He rose again, just as he said he would. And then, number next and finally this morning, we see that his love toward us is unmerited. His love toward us is unmerited. You see, this morning, God offers you and I the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. And because this morning it's a gift, you cannot earn it. We've already said that this morning. It cannot be earned. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Instead, you must see your need of salvation and accept it by trusting Jesus and Jesus alone as your Savior. You see, this morning, it has to be Jesus plus church attendance. No. Okay, well, it has to be Jesus plus baptism. No. It has to be Jesus plus giving my offering. No. It has to be Jesus plus being a member of the Ladies Missionary Society. No. It has to be Jesus plus this work and this work and this work. No, no, and no. It's Jesus plus nothing. That's it. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's Jesus plus nothing this morning. Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning, we need to be thankful for His unending, His unselfish, His undeserved, His unimaginable, His undying, His unmerited love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then you say this morning, how do I receive God's gift of salvation? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that easy. The question is this morning, will you choose to accept God's love? It's then and only then you too can experience God's unfathomable love for all of eternity. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. The Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that says? Just in simple layman's terms this morning, when God has you and God loves you, there's nothing, nobody, nowhere that can take God's love from you or take God's love that He has for you. Once you have His love, you have His love. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And it's for all of eternity. This morning, praise the Lord for His love. And may we never get over the fact that the God of all creation, He loves you. He loves me. And not only that, but He will love us for all eternity. And one day, we'll be in heaven with Him for all eternity. All of our loved ones that they've gone on to be with Him already, we'll be with them. And we'll love Him for all of eternity. And He'll love us for all of eternity. This month we but scratched the surface of the love of God. I mean, you really stop to think about the love of God sometimes. It would just blow your mind when you really stop to see and think and realize how much God loves us. And may we never get over that truth this morning, that God loves us. We sang the song, Jesus loves even me. Even me. Even you. Even when we're unlovely and unlovable, He still loves us. Don't lose sight of that fact this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.